Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 105. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to say thank you for everybody who's listening this morning. I give some shout-outs in the audience. We have Miss Penny, good morning, ma'am. Death in Bitcoin, good morning. We have Jeff Wade on the Bitcoin handle. Good morning, sir. I know you've been extremely busy with everything going on right now in Juneau, but if you're able to join us, I'd like to pick your brain about some stuff. Dr. Nick, Little Ban, we have Fred, Don, Taggart, KG, Jason, Blake, King, Cosmo, Jug, Kyle, Steve. Good morning, good morning. And Toasty. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a fantastic evening. And in case you did not hear, we are creating a strategic shitcoin stockpile, or at least we're going to spend a lot of money to study it. So much for the efficiency of the Doge program. But I want to say good morning, Bob. What are your thoughts on everything with this?
Good morning, Coleman. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on, right? And a lot to digest. I think, any steps are positive steps. I do think that having this, strategic crypto, quote unquote, crypto reserve is probably, the easiest thing to do with an executive order. Hopefully Congress can actually pass some legislation that further clarifies, but you know, the U.S. government holds a bunch of different cryptocurrencies that they've confiscated. And so just earmarking those and saying, hey, those are our reserves, really is kind of a nothing burger, in my opinion. Just like with the Ross Ulbricht release, you know, we have to be patient with these things. So I think it's better. And we kind of talked about this, you know, last year and coming into this year, knowing Trump was going to be president, that executive orders are coming. And so now we see it, but it's going to be better for the long term if there's actual laws put on the books, because those are harder to overturn than executive orders.
I agree with you 100% with that. And I think we're so purist and we're Bitcoin only, which we should be. Everything else is just a scam. Everything else is going to zero. Everything is just going to steal your wealth. But I think as frustrating as it can be, we have to accept that at least they're acknowledging it right now. Like when you talk to somebody who's not into Bitcoin or to anything, the biggest thing that they always say is, you know, what happens if the government like cancels it or stops it or tries to confiscate it? By at least them studying it or acknowledging it, I think it kind of, it takes away that talking point or that argument. And so I want to make it clear, I'm not for this. I really don't, I think it should be Bitcoin only, but at least they're talking about it and it's getting the wheels moving. For anybody that may have thought that, you know, Bitcoin was going to kind of eliminate all the shitcoins this cycle, I think we have a couple more cycles left. The shitcoins are not going away. If anything, they're going to become more prevalent, a little bit more relentless in the next 4 years. And so we just have to do our part and make sure everybody understands the difference. It's Bitcoin and everything else.
Yeah, and Coleman, I mean, if you think about it, If Bitcoin really is seen, in the background as something strategically important for the United States government, whether it's to, you know, help us with our insurmountable debts or whatever, or, you know, like Jason Lowry's thesis, whatever the thought is, I mean, they're better off keeping some confusion in the market. They don't want everybody front running the government, on the purchase. Yes, I know they can print money and they don't really care what price they're buying it at and all those arguments, but I do think, you can't send Bitcoin's price skyrocketing, too far too fast. It would have other implications. So, those are kind of my initial thoughts on that particular, executive order. I know we have a lot to go through today. There's been a ton of activity.
Good morning. I'm just not a fan of using theft through inflation to pump Vitalik or any other scumbag's bags. Kind of bothers me.
I think, Bob, you were the one who posted this in the... Oh, so first, good morning, Wade. I'm glad to hear your voice again. But, Bob, I think you posted this yesterday in that short little 30-minute segment we had. And you posted... It was a list of all the seized tokens, so or Bitcoin and crypto that the government had. And this executive order might just be a way for them to kind of look at what they have and see if they want to just add this to their balance sheet. So that might be a likely scenario. Again, as time goes on, we'll get a little bit more clarity in the direction they want to go. This is not happening instantly. They have 180 days to go ahead and report all their findings and come up with a game plan. So there's still hope that Senator Lummis, with her new role that she's in, will be able to push through the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve Act or bill that she wanted to do. And then we also have the states. As of right now, I believe there's 11 states that are putting it on for a vote to add Bitcoin to their state treasury. And so there's still a lot of hope. And the good thing about that is I haven't seen any bills come through where they're trying to look to add the shitcoins to the state treasuries. So the states will lead and the federal government will follow. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be vice versa.
Yeah, I think I saw now there's 12 states, but go ahead, Gilmer.
I was just going to say, like, you know, regardless of what the executive order, said, you know, regarding shitcoins and everything, I haven't seen, foreign nations talking about shitcoins. No foreign nations have shitcoin reserves. you know, misdirection is a big part of everything that, government does. You know, they, again, if they came out yesterday and said, hey, we're 100% doing a Bitcoin, SBR, we all were anticipating what would exactly happen with the Bitcoin price, right? So it behooves the government to, you know, mislead people in the world in terms of what they're doing. Now, that might be, rose colored glasses. Maybe I'm a little hopeful that they're not as stupid as they, may seem to be in regards to shitcoins. But it's just something to keep in your mind. You know, I wouldn't get too discouraged, but it's a, you know, the flip side, don't get too hopeful either. There are a lot of stupid people that work for the government. So, you know, just keep that in mind. You know, it could be that they know exactly what they want to do, but they just don't want to tell the whole world exactly what they want to do, especially because like it, you know, just mentioning it, right? Like, or, you know, just if they, I mean, they technically mentioned it already, but if they start implementing it, it could be like the death knell of the dollar. You know what I mean? Like, cause then you get into that big race and then, you know, what, Putin said in, during the BRICS conference and shortly after, in regards to Bitcoin, you know, they might push to make that a reality, to just shove the dollar off the stage. You know, that's what I think is going to happen in the long run anyway. It just, you know, for the United States government, it makes more sense to delay that as long as possible, and to shill the fiat shitcoin, while they stack, sats, you know? And the other side of that too is just be careful because Lawfare is going to be a big way that I think that they try to, also stack sats, you know? The foundation of our, potential strategic Bitcoin reserve was taken from, you know, Ross and Silk Road. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Make sure you, as much as we hate doing things on, you know, paying taxes and all that stuff, make sure you do it on the up and up so they don't steal your, or try to steal your stack and throw you in prison if you don't give them keys.
I don't think our leadership is forward thinking at all. I think that this is just a medium that they're using to buy votes at this point. The fact that they're doing this or they're pumping Vitalik's bags, but they're also pumping every other Ethereum holder's bags or Cardano or whatever. They don't care about what real money is or how it works. They don't understand it. They don't understand Bitcoin. That's my view. From being around policymakers, I just don't think that this has, it's just another vote buying scheme.
I think you're right with that. They don't understand it and they just look, again, I can speak for myself. I didn't go directly into Bitcoin. I definitely went down shitcoin alley and got just absolutely rugged. And so I think it's, I do think it's just part, kind of the natural evolution that people go through with it, unless you have somebody that's just right next to your ear that's a Bitcoin maxi steering you and keeping you on the right path. And so that responsibility falls to everybody who's listening to this today. Again, you're the new, like you're the OGs in this space. You're the ones that people are going to look to and they're going to try and listen to you. And again, they're not going to remember everything you say, but they're going to remember the way that you deliver that message. And if you just, you stick to your path, you stick to what you know, what is right, will help eliminate a lot of people from getting rugged with this. And I don't care what the politicians want to do. Again, we can make a bigger impact in our local communities by making sure they stay to Bitcoin only. And the government, they're going to find out too that shit coins are going to cost you a lot of money. So they can just figure it out easy and just stick with Bitcoin, or they can just feel a lot of pain and go down that road.
Dr. Nick is sitting with his daughter listening to this. So, they will be for the rest of the thing known as poo coins.
Sorry. I just saw that come through, Nick. I apologize.
I'll be the centrist here. I think, you know, the government, you know, it's made up of a bunch of different people. And so I think there's certainly those that understand it. And then, you're right. There are people who are going to use these types of things, for votes, politicians. There's going to be people with different incentives, throughout the government and the bureaucracy. And so I think, you know, we just have to be mindful that there's a lot of different folks, looking at these things. And so as dumb as they look, I think there has to be some people, especially the intelligentsia, who are, aware of what's going on for sure.
I do think that they have the right people in place. I don't think they're making a big enough impact. And I wonder the impact that David Bailey really had on Trump and his team and kind of what was being said. With that. So it'd be interesting to see how that kind of comes out. But I don't know. I think this is just the path that they're going to take, and they're just going to have to lose some money and just see that this is, there's no future with altcoins. It's Bitcoin only.
Yeah, I think the idea is if it's being developed here, you can create the guardrails. So you're more in control of it and it doesn't suck the dollar energy out of the economy if you put in the appropriate guardrails. And I think you're going to see the same thing, not to transition, but with the repeal of Sob 121, I think you'll see, banks offering services eventually, but they'll have, limits. There'll be guardrails, for end users. So one, to protect them, but two, to also protect the banking system. I think one of the biggest risks here is, you know, if you can go in and out of Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency directly at your bank, banks would not be able to withstand it, unless they have the guardrails, because, you know, it's like a bank run, right? You move, like, if you had, say, I don't know, even 5 or 10% of your customers all of a sudden getting spooked and moving money off your balance sheet that you use for liquidity and to back loans, and moving it into cryptocurrency or into Bitcoin, all at once, that would be a digital bank run. And we've already seen some of that, you know, over the last couple of years with, Signature Bank and others, that allowed, they didn't have the guardrails in place and allowed, you know, their customers to get spooked and, wires and ACH and all kinds of things, occurred over the weekend, and we saw those banks fail. So, you know, maybe it could have been a part of Chokepoint 2.0. I think it was, but I also think, you witnessed a digital bank run. And so I don't think regulators will allow that to happen again.
I think, so this is a good transition to go into and start talking about the Sob 121 repeal. It could be very interesting with, you know, if you have a big drawdown and the cycles keep and you have a 50, 60, 70% drawdown, what implications that could have on the banks, especially if they're rehypothecating the Bitcoin on their balance sheets. So it could be really dangerous. But if anybody in the audience is listening, if you have any questions about this or want clarification, just click that little purple pill on the bottom right-hand corner and go ahead and ask a question. We'll make sure we answer it. One thing I think this repeal of the 121 will do, and Joe, if you want to come up here, I'd like to pick your brain on this. I think this is going to lead to inevitably tax-friendly implications for Bitcoin. I don't think you'll be able to start taking out these loans or lending it with banks with the current regulations in place. So if you guys have any thoughts on that, I'd like to try and address some of that. Nobody wants to talk about taxing Bitcoin?
I'm actually just reading up on the Saab 121 because I am not that well read on it. So, can you give like a quick overview, Coleman, on it? Spare me some failing at multitasking. Or Wade, I see you got your hand up there.
Wade, if you want to go into it, you're more than welcome to. I'll go ahead and take a stab at it. And if I say something wrong, please someone correct me. 121 though wasn't done by Trump. I believe it was done through the SEC. And Hester Pierce, I believe, led that. So it's now Saab 122. And what it does is allow banks to go ahead and custody Bitcoin. The reason why they weren't able to do it was something to do with balance sheet, redistribution. And it became too hard, I guess, on an accounting standpoint if they custodied Bitcoin. Lisa, am I saying something completely wrong?
No, you're on to it. I think that it required the banks to hold a reserve of 1-to-1, right? So it made it very onerous for a bank and to custody Bitcoin. And I mean, that's what Caitlin is doing at Custodia, right? They had full reserves. You have to hold it separately, obviously not in the same accounts. But good for us that we're moving forward. But I mean, onto your question about what does this do for taxing Bitcoin, I just want to remind everyone, we're not selling our Bitcoin. So like, let's have this conversation in 10 years or 20 years. It's just so irrelevant. This is the last dollar you're ever going to spend. By then the world will be Bitcoin. Of course they won't tax it. It's my humble opinion.
I think one of the big things with SAB 121 is that it changed. It's not just the reserves. It's also it changed how a bank would hold or look at or account for Bitcoin. And so, you know, deposits like dollar deposits are looked at as liabilities to a bank, right? It's a promise to pay them back. And that's kind of how they had Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies classified as well. And so the implication there is, like, there's a lot of different things, but the FDIC insures deposits. And so, you know, one of the things that they didn't want to do is imply to customers that cryptocurrencies would be insured in any way. The other thing is by switching it over to an asset, it may open the door for banks to actually not just custody, but also hold Bitcoin in reserves on their balance sheet as an asset. Kind of like if you think about it as like a loan. So like loans, like you could have a book of loans. Maybe you like to do car loans as a financial institution, or maybe you do a lot of home loans or commercial loans. You can, you know, package those loans up and sell them. And so we'll have to see. I think it'll be interesting to see how they classify Bitcoin, like what the rules are going to be around it, since it's going to be considered an asset, kind of like a loan versus a liability.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. Lisa, do you have your hand up again?
Oh, I don't mean to.
All good. I just want to make sure I wasn't going to talk over you. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. I do think we have some of the right people in place in their positions to go ahead and help steer the ship in the right direction. I think the executive order coming out of Trump made it pretty clear, though, that that's not the right captain to be having to dictate this type of policy and the direction. We need to have other people in there. But nothing's finalized. Again, the executive order with that was more for just steering or just investigating what to add to a stockpile. I think the big news was the Saab 121 coming out, with the banks, and listening to the bankers talk at Davos this week, they all seem pretty eager to jump on this. And, to quote the one CEO from Bank of America, they're going to aggressively, go ahead and implement, and allow these changes. So it'll be a very interesting coming weeks and months. I could not find a timeline when this reversal of 121 went into effect. So, it could happen over here in a couple of days. While we have this break though, I want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Use the code BTCVETS for 5% off your order. Pay in Bitcoin, additional 10% off, so 15% off your order. Solosatoshi.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. And Punch Plate, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate, punchplate.com. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th, July 6th. This is going to be an amazing conference. The tickets and lodging will sell out very soon. So secure those. Go to bitcoinalaska.org and get your tickets. So we'll go ahead and start transitioning into some other things that came out. I think this is big news that dropped on Tuesday. But it was Kansas senator proposes up to 10% pension fund allocation for the state. So the state senator Craig Bowser introduced a bill aiming to allocate up to 10% of the public employee retirement funds into Bitcoin ETFs. This fund has about $27 billion in it. So they want to do about $2.7 to $3 billion in Bitcoin ETFs, which would be really interesting if it gets passed and they allow it. I know Florida was doing something very similar. I don't think they gave a number though. And correct me if I'm wrong with that. But it's you're starting to see the states really come through, and we're only 3 weeks into the year. 2025 is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the news has really sped up on all of this stuff. And I think for a lot of people, they're still not even paying attention. And for the rest of us, I think we're trying to figure out what to digest and how to digest it. It's a flurry of different news articles. And, you know, I think we need to be vigilant too, to make sure we're not reposting stuff that, isn't factual. I think some of the stuff on social media can be, you know, clickbait and found to be untrue. I saw one about a new website. I'm not going to mention any names, but a new website for Chase Bank, yesterday, that turned out to be untrue, where they, basically were, somebody concocted it, but it looked like they were offering digital asset services already, which yeah, definitely was not true.
I wonder, are they going to be the last big bank to go ahead and implement this? Because Jamie Dimon is just, for one, he's a, Dr. Nick's still here, he's a butthole. I really don't like the guy. And I would put high money that he doesn't, or sorry, I'd put a lot of money that he doesn't implement, you know, the Saab 121 rulings to allow his customers to, you know, have access to Bitcoin until he sees the other big banks doing so. And he knows that he's losing money.
Well, remember Coleman, the SEC gave an exemption to Bank of New York Mellon. And so really this, staff accounting bulletin 122 that, repeals 121, is really allowing banks to be on equal footing. So they don't have to go through the same begging and pleading process is BNY Mellon, to be able to custody Bitcoin for their clients. So I think maybe not for like the average Joe. JP Morgan Chase will be doing this right away, but I think for large financial institutions, there's a lot of money in it to be, you know, trying to custody the ETF funds and things like that.
Was JP Morgan, though, they were a listed broker for the ETFs, correct?
Yes. I think they're doing some of the money movement, if I recall correctly. But that doesn't mean they're custodying Bitcoin. So I think, this again allows them to do that. And so I think the big question is like, which markets are going to be served, right? Are banks going to choose to just go after ETFs? Are banks going to go and try to, go after high net worth individuals, corporations, so on and so forth? I think that's really the big question. And what I could see, at least initially, is them really trying to go after that ETF business, which I think is probably a good thing from the standpoint that right now the only couple that are holding Bitcoin that, you know, for the ETFs is Coinbase and Fidelity. And then you have maybe BNY Mellon. I haven't heard if they've actually used their exemption to win business yet, but spreading out some of that could be a good thing. So there's not a honeypot in case of some sort of emergency or hack or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of pick your poison. Who would you rather custody your Bitcoin? JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, or Coinbase? I think all their morals kind of align to the same skewed side. But having
it's like it's the same picture meme. We need that right now.
Yes, from The Office. But at least distributing it amongst different custodians is going to be beneficial this way. If there is a breach or a hack, not everything is lost at once. All the more importance, again, if you're not doing it through your retirement account, to go ahead and self-custody your own Bitcoin. So go ahead. I saw this was interesting news. Ross Ulbricht, if you didn't know, was just released. I believe it was Wednesday night. He was released. He's at home. He posted a video. I'll share up in the link here in a couple of minutes. Or he gave a speech thanking President Trump, and he's going to spend time with his family. And when he's done spending time and just kind of getting adjusted back to his new life, that he will start going and talking about everything. So if you thought he was going to be on a podcast next week, most likely not. I would imagine probably late spring, early summer, he'll start making his rounds. But someone was reporting that he may own just a little over $47 million in Bitcoin from untouched wallets on Coinbase. Connor Grogan from Coinbase discovered around 430 Bitcoin in dormant wallets, possibly linked to Ross and the Silk Road founder. These funds have been untouched for over 13 years. So there's a high probability, according to him, that these could be Ross's funds. And I hope they are. I do hope that he had some Bitcoin on there that he wasn't forced to give up in the plea deal or the government confiscated. That would be amazing. I do know that on his donation page, I think it's freeross.org, he has over $200,000 that have been donated over the last 48 hours. So that's really good for him. I can throw a link up there too if you want to donate some sats, but it would be amazing for him to be coming out of jail a free man and have all that corn. So that, I do hope that rumor is true.
Be careful though, because it can dox your stack if you don't do it right. So, yeah, I would say, you know, maybe find a friend.
I think you can donate in fiat too if you want to just keep it on the, you know, without exposing or having to sell and rebuy your Bitcoin. You can just donate in fiat, I think. At least last I checked.
I believe they accept everything. They accept fiat, credit cards, Bitcoin, and a slew of altcoins.
Free money.
It is free money. And yeah, I think, but if you want to donate, the options are open for you.
Yeah, sometimes what I'll do too, if I am donating Bitcoin, is I'll use like whatever my onboarding thing is. So like if you use Cash App or something, I'll just buy from there and then just donate in Bitcoin. You know, obviously it costs a little bit more money, but, you know, it's nice to, be able to like utilize, Bitcoin in that manner, you know, to make it a little bit more mainstream. You know, same thing when you get like companies will do like discounts and stuff. Or if not, you can do, you know, like Sparrow, I think, gives you a bunch of wallets. So you can, I think, I'm not 100% sure on this. You guys can correct me. If you have some sats, like to make a purchase in one of the sub wallets, then you can, you know, do that without exposing your whole stack. Cause it's just coming from that one sub wallet.
I think you're correct, but I'm sure that there's somebody out there that could confirm that, or not. If you know, just go ahead and leave us a comment, to confirm that or not. Let's get into that though, because Bob brings up a really interesting point. Why, if, you know, everyone's going to have to purchase Bitcoin from a KYC exchange, but Bob, do you want to kind of go into why it's important to not use the same UTXOs when or the same address every single time that you're sending it in to your cold wallet?
Yeah, from a receive perspective, you know, Bitcoin is an open public ledger. And so any transactions can be analyzed or seen by, you know, authorities, blockchain analytics tools, individuals. And so, yeah, if you're sending Bitcoin over and over and over again to the same address, whoever is sending that to you now can see all of the other previous transactions, and future transactions, right? So, the best practice is to always generate a new wallet address. You don't have to, but it is a security potentially issue and a privacy issue, depending on how you think about it. So, you know, maybe for some of you, this is more than you want to think about here on a Friday morning, but, it is something where if you want to have deeper conversations, you know, I'd ask you to go to the BitcoinVeterans.org website, and there's plenty of people that can help kind of answer your questions on this stuff. It's not that complicated once you understand. There's lots of good tools available to create wallets in a way where you can have multiple addresses, and every time a wallet address gets used, the next time you hit receive, it will search for your next unused address, and then you would withdraw to that. So I hope that covers it. If people do have questions though, again, bitcoinveterans.org, or feel free to use the purple pill down in the bottom. We don't have any comments or questions yet so far this morning, so it's not purple right now. So maybe somebody can say something and, it'll change color for everybody.
I don't even see the little thing on the bottom right in this space.
If you're on your desktop, you probably won't see it. If you're using a phone, then it's in the bottom right.
Okay. It used to show up on desktop. I don't know why it doesn't now. That's disappointing.
So thank you for that, Bob. And I do think most wallets will automatically generate a new address. And again, it's a new address. It's not a new seed phrase, just for anybody that's being confused by that. It's the same wallet. It's the same one that you have the keys to, but it's just that front end address is going to be different. Good morning, Shane. How are you doing today, sir?
Morning, Colin. Morning, everybody. Doing great. Just heard EMR saying some things about the Sparrow wallet. Just thought I'd jump up here, but I think Bob beat me to it a little bit. I do think it is important if you guys are, you know, stacking and you're using Sparrow. If you're not using Sparrow, I would highly, highly encourage you to give it a look. It is extremely powerful in terms of, you know, consolidating UTXOs and making life easy kind of trying to conceal a little bit of what you're doing out there. But yeah, just to echo Bob, is like, if you're going to be sending things to anybody out there and protecting your main stack, you know, whether it's divided up or not, that's one of those things where you should be creating a new address and sending it maybe a couple times, you know, depending on how paranoid you are. And that way you've at least got some plausible deniability in this whole thing. But I hope, there's such a small amount of people in the world that understand Bitcoin, and there's an even smaller amount, like a fraction of real Bitcoiners that understand how to track Bitcoin. I hope most of those people can't be bought out and working for the wrong side. But I imagine there are a few people who have sold their soul already that are trying to offer those services. But be careful when you're donating, for sure.
Just maybe if it's okay, Coleman, I can touch a little bit more on what Shane mentioned about UTXO management. So when you're withdrawing from wherever you're buying, right? If you're buying from Strike or, one of the many Bitcoin only platforms that we talk about in here, UTXO management is important. You don't want to be withdrawing too small of amounts, because eventually we expect there to be a lot of competition for block space. So when you go to spend those UTXOs, if they're too small, you may end up being in a place where it costs more to send the transaction than the UTXO is actually worth. And so what you want to do is wait until you have, a certain amount. You can set an amount for yourself if you're accumulating on one of these exchanges like River or, I can keep mentioning different other ones, but River or Strike. You want to wait until you accumulate enough on one of those platforms to make it make sense. And then once you do, you can combine your UTXOs, as Shane was mentioning, and Sparrow has a great interface to make it easy for people to see how it works and then to send a transaction essentially to yourself to consolidate your UTXOs into, more manageable amounts.
Bob, did you mind going into a little bit more detail as what happens if you start transferring too low of an amount and you have too many UTXOs with just a small balance, why that's going to cause issues, possibly even in the near future when fees start getting higher?
Yeah, so you got to think of it like this. We assign a monetary value to Bitcoin, and it's really cool. And that's how most people think about it. But really, you're just sending information to this ledger when you do a transaction. And so this information contains, it's data, right? And the data is written to the blockchain. And so to the time chain, I'll say. And so when you want to write that data, you have to have that transaction included in, you want that transaction included in a subsequent block, that, a block of transactions. And so what you have to do is incentivize a miner to add your transaction to the block. And so, in the future, again, we expect there to be competition for your transaction to permanently be written to the network. And the big thing is if you have a ton of small, little, tiny UTXOs, you're writing more information to the time chain, and so you're going to have to pay for all of those transactions to be consolidated into one. Mm-hmm. So it's better, right now the fees are still extremely low. I'm looking live on timechaincalendar.com, which I would encourage people to check out. It's a good resource. The fee rates right now are between 2 and 3 sats per V-byte. And so that's basically free. I helped someone consolidate UTXOs yesterday. I think it was 4 of them, and it cost them about 99 cents in miner fees to do that. So you can imagine that when the sats per V-byte rate is much more than 2 or 3, as in, we've seen it in the hundreds, when there's a lot of activity, that consolidating UTXOs would be ill-advised, probably no matter how much you have, because you're going to be spending a huge amount to do that, for 4 transactions. And think of it, if you had, You know, let's say every day you're buying $10 worth of Bitcoin, and every day you're withdrawing that Bitcoin to your own self-custody. you would have, you know, in a year, 365 or 66 UTXOs. And when you go to spend those or consolidate those, you're going to be paying an arm and a leg in miner fees, no matter if it's 2 sats per V-byte or 200 sats per V-byte. So I hope that gives some context, you know, just giving you, I know it's, for some of you, if this is a new topic, it may not be clear and you might be more of a visual person. But Sparrow really does make it easy to Shane's point. And so you want to be thinking about these things when you make a withdrawal. One last thing, Shane, before I go to you. I tell all my clients, I like to, suggest that 1 million sats would be kind of the minimum that I would suggest to pull off of an exchange. Some people think, it's 100,000. I think it depends on your time frame. There's no right or wrong answer. But there's, again, the reason for that is in the future, if you can consider what Bitcoin might be valued at, these round numbers might be helpful for you. Additionally, you're setting kind of a, right now with Bitcoin the way it is, you'd be looking at about $1,050, worth of Bitcoin, at 1 million sats, if I'm doing my math correctly. So, you know, if Bitcoin's 5 times the price in the future, think about how much that stack would be worth. And then think about when you're spending it, if you're sending it to a friend because you're buying something, your friend's going to see, you know, it's coming from a wallet with 5 times the amount in dollar terms at that future state. So, if you have too big of UTXOs, that's one of the big problems, right? So if you combine everything and now you have say $25,000 in sats and you go to spend $1,000 to send to a friend, now they see that you have $24,000 left and that could be a problem. So anyway, Shane, go ahead. I just thought I'd cover kind of the full circle and hopefully I did a good enough job.
Yeah, I think this subject is one of those that we don't talk about enough and it's somewhat overcomplicated just by new terminology people don't understand. When I explain this stuff to people, I relate it to property. And it's, you know, if you can find common ground in a language people know, a lot of times they're a lot more receptive to understanding a new idea. And so if you look at Bitcoin as property, you kind of relate it, at, you know, as selling physical property. You would think about this as if I have 100 1-acre lots that I want to sell to you and you want to buy from me, or a 100-acre lot. The amount of paperwork that's going to be involved in doing the consolidation of that 100 1-acre lots versus the 100 acre lot, it's the same amount of property. It's just that it's all divided. And so if you're thinking about, you know, in mountains and reams of papers, if you've ever signed for a mortgage or a land deed or any of those other things, that is a really easy way to think about UTXO. A lot of you guys are out there and know UTXO. Some of you guys are new to this. Either way, this is a very easy way to explain it to people. And if you are looking at managing your UTXO and you're new to this as well, because Bitcoin's 24/7, this is just a little tip and it should be obvious, but sometimes people don't think about it. Because it's 24/7, you can do this on the nights and weekends when the regular markets are closed. And so that'll, you know, as soon as you see this, you know, start to pop up in your timeline, if you want to go to mempool or any of these other, you know, websites that track what's, you know, sats per V-byte are tracking at right then, you'll see as soon as the markets close, these things all ramp down after, you know, the 9:30 opening here on the East Coast, you know, about an hour later, they tend to track down, but nights and weekends are usually going to be the easiest time for you to get in there and get a kind of a cheaper rate for moving and consolidating UTXO anyway.
I like that, Shane. That was the easiest explanation of UTXO management with the visualization of the paperwork that goes into it. I really like that. I'm going to steal that from you. Also, if you are using Sparrow Wallet, there is no app. I know that there's a lot of companies that are trying to put that out there to get you to put your information in. Sparrow Wallet does not have an app. It's desktop only. So just be mindful of that. You shouldn't, I would never try to link my cold wallet to my phone with an app. It puts you too much at risk, kind of defeats the whole purpose of using cold storage wallet. So just be mindful of that.
Coleman, if I could just jump in too, there is a lot of scam sites out there for Sparrow Wallet, most notably sparrowwallet.net. It'll actually come up as an ad in most browsers. If you search in like Yahoo, Google, even DuckDuckGo, I've seen. So be careful. Make sure you're downloading from sparrowwallet.com. Otherwise, you're going to be giving your keys up to a scammer and you will lose your Bitcoin. So again, make sure you're downloading from the correct place. And if you're concerned about it and you don't know what you're doing, I can't say it enough. Reach out to one of us up here or bitcoinveterans.org. They can get you in touch in the chats to help you. None of us want to see anybody in our spaces or our friends or family lose any Bitcoin because they made a silly mistake.
And I threw a link up there for Sparrow Wallet up in the Nest. So if anyone wants to click on it, it was just a generic one that they had about a new update they released, but it takes you to their site. So it'll be the right direction. I'm with Shane. I really like Sparrow. It's really easy. While we're on the topic of this, what's your go-to hot wallet or lightning wallet that you all use?
So I actually don't really, if I'm going to use a hot wallet, I just use Strike. I don't keep much on there. But in terms of like a watch only wallet, you can use a watch only wallet, like Blue Wallet. I like Sentinel, cause there's privacy features built in. But, as far as, Lightning goes, again, that's why I use, Strike, cause you can do either on chain or Lightning for small amounts.
Yeah, small amounts hot wallet, for like more clandestine type of, movement around just to kind of keep everything, low key is, Moon or Mun, whatever you want to call it. And if I actually need to go do something and I've got like a little bit of Bitcoin on Cash App actually has a debit card. So if you need to go, I don't know, pay for something at the grocery store or get some gas or something like that. I know a lot of people are like, don't spend your Bitcoin, but at some point, you know, you're going to have enough Bitcoin. And that's one of those things where if you can put it back into, you know, work for you when you need it, or if, you know, let's just say you're in an all-time high anyway, like it's a very simple app. And it's one of those things where if you can transfer it, you know, very simply, and I know it's a little more costly to do so, but, you know, convenience is also one of those things. If your time is worth a lot to you, maybe consider it.
No, so let's go ahead and nip this in the butt right now. Thank you for bringing this up, Shane. Bitcoin is meant to be spent. Let's get that out there. It's a peer-to-peer digital payment system. That's its first intention. If all of us just buy Bitcoin and never use it, Bitcoin it won't continue. It can't. So I just want to get that out there. With that being said though, don't spend your Bitcoin on frivolous things that you do not need. I think everyone should try and transition to a Bitcoin standard where you get paid in fiat, move everything into Bitcoin and try it that way. And inevitably you're going to have to spend your Bitcoin. But there's a difference between spending your Bitcoin and just buying crap that you don't need with your Bitcoin. So I just want to make sure that there's the distinction between the two. And everybody's situation is different. Someone might have a family emergency, a health emergency, or just something or you just want to better your life and you're going to spend your Bitcoin for that. I'm going to tell you, if it's going to improve your life in a meaningful, positive way, go ahead and do that. That's the whole point of this. That's why you're saving in this to make your life better. Just know though that you're most likely never going to be able to accumulate that Bitcoin again. But don't be scared to spend your Bitcoin if it's going to make a positive impact on your life. So I just want to make sure that was clear with that. I've been trying to do the Bitcoin standard with Fold. So Fold is a debit card. You can purchase Bitcoin or have your direct deposit sent directly to them. You can change the amount you want your direct deposit converted to Bitcoin. I just do 100% and then I just try and fund my card anytime I need to. the hiccup I'm finding with this, so I'm probably going to switch to something else soon, is just the spread in the fees that Fold is charging to get that Bitcoin to fiat and back. It's just a little too high. And with the price of Bitcoin just kind of being stagnant right now, it's not having just these massive gains. It's definitely making an impact on that transaction. So it's not making life easier or, I guess, cheaper for me by doing this. The next one I want to try and roll into is going to be Strike. Strike has the same feature. You can pay all of your bills. The only thing is they don't have a debit card, but they do have a push to debit card feature. I think they charge 1.5% though, if you want it instantly, or if you can wait 24, 48 hours, it can do it. So you just have to be mindful of your purchases. But I think in February, I'm going to try this out for a couple months with Strike to see if it's going to be better. But I did not know about the Cash App, so that might be my third option to try and go through that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would warn against Cash App for large amounts like paychecks. You can only move, I think it's like $5,000 a week in Bitcoin. So if you get paid, right, and you've got some extra laying around, moving that off of Cash App, especially as the price continues to rise, is going to be very difficult. I'd be curious for anybody out there, Coleman, you mentioned Strike and Fold. If anybody has one that they really recommend that they like, where they take their fiat paychecks, it's automatically converted to Bitcoin, and moving, you know, larger amounts, $5,000-$10,000 off of that is permissible. First and foremost, there's not, you know, some, you know, lower limits. If anybody has any, you know, caution or any advice on that, I'd be all ears.
I think there's certainly room for competition, right? Like there's, these companies have to make money. So you understand why the spreads are the way they are sometimes. But also, more competition and more services like this will be, forcing these guys to maybe rein in the fees a little bit. So I think it's only going to get better. It's great that, you know, there's guys out there willing to test it, these things like you guys. I don't know of any others, besides, you know, Fold product or, Strike or Cash App, but I can say like one of the interesting ones, it's not quite what you guys are describing, but, you can actually direct deposit directly into River, and then River will, pay you, interest in Bitcoin. So you maintain your cash, so it's not converting to Bitcoin right away, but it is, it's accruing interest that's paid out in Bitcoin at the end of each month, depending on your cash balance. And that is FDIC insured by a bank that they work with.
Sorry, I was just making a post. The only thing with River, and I'm sure they have it in the works, that's the next evolution for them, is to go ahead and do direct deposit. I wish they had that feature. So you can send your paycheck directly to them and just automatic buy. And then the a debit card. And if I was going to put money, I bet you that Alex and the team goes ahead, gets that done this year. And I'm not sure how the repeal of 121 would affect that and make it easier for him to get things going. But that would be my next one to try. I really do like River. I like it just simply because I can see everything going on. I can see that everything is backed up, but with Strike, it's just easier to send my paychecks to him. So that's why I like doing that with him.
I will say with River, you can definitely move large amounts of Bitcoin from their site or their app into your cold storage for sure. Which, yeah, if they get that other side figured out where we can either start paying bills from there, and have automatic Bitcoin purchases. Fantastic. If you guys don't know, River also has target buys. So if you think the market's going to dip or want it to dip before you do buy, you can always set up some target buys on River as well. Highly, highly recommend those guys. And they have excellent customer service, especially if you're running a business or a 501c3. Can't recommend those guys enough.
And the best thing about that target buy is your cash just sits there in your account and it earns interest every day paid out in Bitcoin. So that's just an amazing feature that they did. Dr. Nick, we have you up here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me up here. It's a very interesting conversation. This is stuff I like to talk about. I usually just sit back and listen with the macro stuff. It's not really my cup of tea, but I do enjoy getting my info from you all in regards to that. But Coleman, you mentioned Fold. I just want to throw my two sats in there that they are looking at deploying a credit card. So I would keep an eye on Fold because if they get that credit card out there, you know, that'd be a good all-in-one app. You could get, you get your direct deposit to there. You can, buy as much Bitcoin as you need to, with your paychecks. And then, you know, you can also just pay off your bill. So if you're doing all your spending on that credit card within Fold, you could just pay off, all of that with your monthly paycheck, buy the rest in Bitcoin, and then start spending on your credit card again. So it's kind of like the Jack Mahler strategy. You're not really holding any cash. You're buying Bitcoin with all of your paycheck. And then, you know, you're paying off your bills with all your paycheck, whatever's left over, you're buying Bitcoin with. And then you're just not holding cash at all, which I think is awesome. I think the innovation in the space is going to be incredible moving forward. All these companies are going to be competing against each other to see, you know, who can get the leg up. And just come out with the new best features, basically. So I just want to throw that out there. And also thank you for saying poo-poo and butthole instead of the bad words while my daughter's around. Appreciate that.
All right, well, thanks for coming up, Nick. And thanks for your daughter to hold accountability for me and minding my tongue. So I'll do better in case we have other listeners with children in the room.
Nick, if you're not on a phone, we'll stop saying the bad words if you, just put something in the pill to make it purple. Anything.
I was mostly joking in the back channels. I appreciate, you guys censoring yourself, but I am very against censorship. She's old enough to know the difference and know that they're bad words. So I just thought it was something funny to share, but thank you guys nonetheless.
No, Nick, you didn't catch us. We were asking you to please leave us a comment. Please, someone write in that box so it turns purple.
Nick is literally the best of us. I mean, he's a sailor that watches these things around his kids. I that's awesome, man, because in my house, they're called daddy words or were called daddy words when they were young. And for a guy like you, a diver, to be that, man, Nick is fantastic. If you guys don't follow Nick, he's awesome.
Thanks, Shane. I will say that I am not active on X other than the space, so I don't follow anyone or expect anyone to follow me here, but I am on Noster.
Put your Noster and Pub in the chat then. But going back to Fold, I remember taking that survey last week for the credit card. And to Nick's point, that would be an absolute game changer. Because again, right now, the way that I'm trying to implement the Bitcoin standard, or living on a Bitcoin standard, is just trying to keep as little amount in fiat as possible. So it's like those everyday purchases that you have to do when you go to the grocery store or things, they start to add up. But being able to just run that all on a charge card and then at the end of the month, pay that off again in full, there's no point paying interest on that, would make Fold a lot more appealing. So I'd be very interested to see when those guys get that done. Nick, not in the back channel chat. Put your NPub on the chat in the bottom right here on X. You goober.
Yeah, I don't know how to navigate X. My bad. Like I said, I'm only on Noster. I don't know what I'm doing here.
You're good. All right, so we were at the top of the hour, and it doesn't look like anybody wanted to take our advice in comments. We'll have to try again on this on Monday. But Shane, Bob, Nick, do you guys have any other comments you want to hit on to send us off into the weekend?
Absolutely kick-ass show. You guys are doing God's work out here. There's so much to do in this space. Try to stay positive. I know some of the news yesterday struck people differently, but whatever is happening, Bitcoin doesn't care about these things, right? Bitcoin is just peer-to-peer. It's amazing technology that's going to take us away from these, you know, these fiat currency, you know, enslavement machines. And I can't I don't have enough words to say, you know, how amazing the space is, the innovators, the people who are coming in here, they're giving their time, their effort and education for everybody else out there that you could have taken your Bitcoin and run away and lived to see, you know, a bright future. But instead, you know, you show up, you get out there, you educate yourself. And really that's what this is going to take. So good job, Coleman, the rest of you guys, just keep up the great work.
Yeah, I want to echo that. Great job, Coleman. Appreciate you hosting these, being so consistent and, all the good, information we've had. I think back on this week, you know, we had a couple of great guests with, Joe Bryan and then, Bob Burnett. And, you know, we'll be looking to get more and more guests for everyone. I just want to ask again, people, like if you guys are finding value in this content, please do share it on your timeline, with your friends. We're trying to get, more reach out there so we can help more people, get on a Bitcoin standard.
Hey, so we just got a couple people requesting really quick. We have, Bradley requesting, just brought you up, sir. So give you a couple minutes to join us. And again, if anybody's in the audience and you're listening and you want to come up here and speak, you're definitely more than welcome to. The only requirement we have is just no shitcoining. Just, you know, you talk about anything you want to promote your business, that's fine. But just no shit, or sorry, altcoining.
Poop coining.
Hey guys, good morning. I don't know if you can hear me or not. That purple box isn't in the right-hand corner, but I would like your thoughts on something if I could get your advice. My first time speaking, so I'm a little bit nervous, but I see a lot of negative sentiment on Twitter X about the XRP Ripple coin and Trump not wanting to or hasn't signed the SBR executive order yet. But really, if we think big picture, you know, XRP is not Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is the, you know, hardest money. And so corporations, publicly held companies, nation states aren't buying XRP Ripple. It shouldn't be a threat to us. And yesterday's executive order, in my opinion, was major for Bitcoin holders. I think it was back in 2022 or 2023, Saylor did a spaces with CME Group, and he talked about the three big things, the ETF, the accounting rules, and then SAB 121, which is banks being able to custody Bitcoin, being able to take us to 5 million a coin. And now we have all those things in place. And I think everybody should be upbeat and excited about yesterday's executive order, but I see a lot of negative sentiment out there. Just kind of curious your thoughts.
Well, first, Bradley, thank you so much for coming up. And I'll take a look into why that little pillbox isn't out there. If you could, though, just mute yourself just so we don't get any feedback when you're not speaking, Bradley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. So I think that the negative, I think we, the Bitcoiners had just high expectations, that it was going to be just a Bitcoin only, executive order for a strategic reserve, or at least a Bitcoin only investigation into a stockpile. I think the inclusion of all the other altcoins, was very disheartening, but you're right. Bitcoin doesn't care. Shane said it just at the, couple minutes ago, like it's going to keep going. It's going to keep trucking along. It doesn't matter. Bitcoin doesn't need approval from the United States. I do think though that we could potentially be going down just a really rough patch with allowing the proliferation of all these altcoins to kind of thrive and giving them their moment in the sun. So that's what I'm a little bit worried about. But I think the states are going to lead this drive. I think you're going to see from Texas. I hope Texas is the first one to go ahead and implement it. But if they're not, I think they'll be shortly, they'll follow shortly after whoever does it first. And that will be the big implications, for Bitcoin, where we get the states adopting it, putting on their balance sheets. And then don't forget, we have a really strong advocate in our corner with Senator Lummis, and I do believe that she has the votes to go ahead and pass her Strategic Bitcoin Reserve Act. And that would be a good catalyst for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'll also say, like, I don't like to FUD other chains, but I mean, specifically with XRP, I've seen some things on X lately. Ledger 32,570, I'll just read this real quick. Due to a mishap early in the XRP ledger's history, ledgers 1 through 32,569 were lost. This loss represents approximately the first week of the ledger history. Thus, ledger 32,570 is the earliest ledger available anywhere. Because the XRP ledger's state is recorded in every ledger version, the ledger can continue without the missing history. And so they're trying to explain away this missing week. And it may not seem like a very big deal, but Bitcoin has the entire time chain from the very beginning. And there's a lot of folks out there who are trying to argue for these other cryptocurrencies and for the, you know, the newcomer who hasn't been around for a while. Like, these are important things to understand. So I would, you know, caution, like, if you're in a space listening to someone talk about some of these cryptocurrencies, I hear a lot of fallacies and repeats and parroting of lies or misunderstandings that a lot of these guys don't understand the genesis of some of these things. And so, you know, you can mess around with them and find out, or listen to us because we've been through it and been here for a while paying attention to this stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I mean, if you just think of like the fundamentals of how a blockchain works, it's supposed to be like the whole, like with Bitcoin, you know, when you're mining, you're working and then you append those new transactions on the end of the blockchain. You know, that's the whole, it's a chain of blocks, you know, so like the fact that they're missing a whole week, to me, that means that like after a week, they made a new thing and they still just called it XRP. It's not really, the same. And it's kind of wild that they just kind of try to hand wave that away. And, you know, it just shows you that there is some fundamental flaws in that system. That A, it happened to begin with, and B, that they, just kind of tried to whitewash it and ignore that giant flaw. Because if they can just, you know, hand wave and move on from that mistake, then what's to say, like when you step out of line, they don't just hand wave and move on from all of your transactions and all of your, you know, holdings. So that's, you know, it's kind of great that comes up because it shows you the difference between these poo coins and, you know, something that is truly immutable and decentralized, and that's Bitcoin. And I wrote about this a little bit in Choose Bitcoin. So if you are new here, I'll post that up to the Nest too, and you can read through that to try to orient yourself. But I mean, it's a fundamental thing that you have to understand that like a blockchain is supposed to include, you're supposed to be appending the new information onto the old information. That's the whole reason why, that's where the name comes from. Pretty crazy. I gotta look more into it because I never heard of that before, but.
So I just tweeted it and I'll share it to the Nest up at the top. But yeah, I mean, they're trying to basically say the Genesis block for XRP is 32,570 because resetting it back to zero was too disruptive.
Imagine trying imagine trying to redact a ledger and saying, hey, it's okay, guys, everything's here. That's literally what they're doing. If that can happen, then what comes down the road in terms of 5, 10, 15 years, whatever, if those first blocks are missing, they could have lied about the issuance. They could have lied about any of that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, what do you have? You've got rampant inflation overnight that maybe cripples everybody, possibly rugs people. You can't redact ledgers. Ledgers are the blockchain. Blockchains are the ledger, period. Any redaction or any missing pieces are not acceptable. That's why we Bitcoin.
Now apply that same thought to the Federal Reserve of the United States of America.
Every day.
Does Trump get rid of the Federal Reserve in this presidency if we just had a quick poll? I say yes.
I don't think so.
You say no?
I think it's too disruptive to the financial system. It would take way too long to unwind what the Fed is doing. I mean, he could diminish the capacity, maybe, but I think, you know, it really is a separate entity and for a reason.
If anything, he's probably going to try to empower them through Bitcoin. I know I would guess Larry Fink and the boys over at BlackRock and Fidelity and the rest of those guys are looking and probably threatening, and they're not wrong. Like, hey, listen, if you unwind this too fast, millions and millions of people around the world are going to die. And that is not being hyperbolic. That is literally like, if you unwind the Fed too fast and people can't trust the money that they have, there's no Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. This is where tyrants, you know, meet their end like they used to in France and in England back in the day. So if anything, I think he's going to try to empower them. Hopefully it's, you know, through Bitcoin and this thing unwinds itself and we get away from it. But, you know, got to hope that they make some very smart, calculated, long-term decisions, which politicians aren't good at. So I guess we can all pray on that one.
I don't know if I heard you correctly, Shane. You said he's going to empower the Fed?
Well, I think he has to. I think, you know, if we're looking at this, if we are literally moving towards a Bitcoin standard, the Bitcoin standard is, you know, the quote unquote dollar will have to be backed by Bitcoin. So, you know, the most logical play here is you've already got a structure that kind of, you know, delves in this area. Unwinding the dollar too fast is kind of my argument here is if you unwind that too fast by saying, hey, the dollar's shit and we're just going to Bitcoin and we're just going to go peer to peer. I don't think, you know, the people who are the boomers who are left, maybe some of the older Gen Xers who aren't read up on this, I think they're going to have a massive problem with this. And if, you know, I'm not rooting for, you know, the Federal Reserve by any means, but this has got to be done the right way or else, like I said, millions of people die. So I think, you know, in the long term, knowing who Trump is and knowing that politicians are politicians and banks are banks, I think what they're going to try to do is empower the Fed through Bitcoin and make the dollar backed by Bitcoin.
Yomar, do you want to give your prediction on it?
I don't think the Federal Reserve is going to go away just yet. I think Shane's right. They're going to try to integrate to some degree. You know, it's going to take a while before like we fully give up. And again, like this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, it's in the interest of the U.S. government to keep fiat alive for as long as possible and use it to stack sats. And, you know, that's, you know, the turmoil that would come with the rapid collapse of the dollar, would be severely painful, to Shane's point, both like economically and, just the chaos and disorder that could come with a rapid collapse. I'm sure, you know, my fellow Bitcoin veterans know, but, smooth is fast and fast is slow. You know, let's not get too crazy here.
Yeah, if I can just chime in one more thing, you got to think of it like this. The Fed is the buyer of last resort, right? So think about when, you know, you hear the new Treasury Secretary Bessent saying he wants to extend the duration on a lot of the U.S. debt, right? So we've heard that $6 to $7 trillion is coming off the books this year. That's got to be refinanced. And so when they issue new bonds to pay for those debts, they're going to try to extend the duration. So they won't be short term. They don't want to be doing this again in 2026. And so as they try to extend those, you know, out as far as they can, the banks that are required to buy, the big banks that are buying, aren't probably going to want to buy up much of that paper. And so, I think what we could see is the Federal Reserve buying up some of that paper just to, you know, take some of the sting off of the bond market. So you gotta look at like the dichotomy between the Treasury and the Federal Reserve and how the interplay works. I think for it to go away, I'd put almost a 0% chance on it, the way things are currently structured.
I think I'm going to stand alone on this position then. I still think he's going to try and get rid of it. I just don't think Jerome Powell's vision and Trump's vision are aligned whatsoever. And, or maybe they have the same goal, but the path to get there is completely different. I think we might have talked about it yesterday or heard it on a different space that we don't think the Federal Reserve next week is going to cut or raise, just going to kind of hold everything steady. And Trump came out yesterday afternoon and said we need to get rates down as quickly as possible. And so there's going to be some kind of conflict brewing between the two. And I don't know exactly how it works, but I have a feeling that Tether's role in all of this is going to become more significant. And I could see them taking up a lot of slack and purchasing some of these long dated bonds that they're really reluctant on touching. Howard Lutnick has a big role with Tether, and I'm sure he can make it really appealing for them to try and buy some long dated bonds to help offset things. So I think I'm not going to change my stance on it. I do think that there's going to be a lot of conflict, and I think there's going to be some changes coming. And so that's kind of how I see things going.
You gonna start putting beans in chili too, Coleman?
No, I haven't lost my marbles that far yet. Or what was it, Eomar? Potatoes and stew?
Dude, you gotta have beef stew with potatoes. And chili without beans is just meat.
Who doesn't put potatoes in stew, for God's sakes?
I don't.
Is that Coleman?
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's Coleman. Meat.
You guys, see, this just discredits him even further. You guys, I need to make like a cookbook for the Bitcoin cook chef illiterate over here, you know? We're going to save you guys from yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not putting potatoes in stew, Coleman, we might as well just disband Bitcoin veterans now.
All right. This is an open invitation for all of you folk. I don't toot my horn very much, but I am a phenomenal cook. In a previous life, I used to be a sous chef at one of the nicer restaurants down here in Houston. I'll be more than happy to cook for any of you who comes down to Houston, and I'll show you
what's McDonald's is not a nice restaurant.
No, McDonald's is not. I make a mean burger. I make delicious beanless chili, and I make a phenomenal potatoless stew. So if you guys want to come down, or just for some brisket, I'm known pretty good for brisket around here.
I see a Bitcoin veterans chili cook-off in our future, maybe in the fall sometime. This would be excellent. Maybe down in Texas as well.
I'm down for that. Get a ranch. We can do some hog hunting. I like this. This sounds like a plan. But I have to.
I don't know. The last time a northerner beat the South, it didn't end too well for America. So I don't know. I don't know if I want to embarrass you guys like that.
I'm not going to comment on this, Eomar. We're Dr. Nick's child is still here. So, all right. I have to get going though. I've got an appointment here. I've got to run to. I do want to thank everybody who tuned in to listen to this nonsense. Hopefully you learned something today. Thanks Bradley for jumping up here and asking your question. And, I'll check in to see why that little, comment box is not working correctly. It's probably something on my end. But again, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in, everyone who retweeted this link, and for everyone just being a good supporter of the Bitcoin veteran community. It really does mean a lot to us. And thanks for everybody that comes on here and talks. So we will see you all on Monday morning. Go out there, make some connections, talk to your community, orange pill as many people as you can, make the distinction between Bitcoin and all the other altcoins, but just deliver the message in a positive way. And just make sure you're not shitcoining, altcoining. It's like a dream where you're naked in public, but for real.
It's like chili without beans.
I'm going to block you, Eomar.